All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 486 for Thursday, July the 7th, 2005. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game. And today, fun fact, I learned that the average person spends 240 days of their life on the toilet. So, you know, everybody taking their phone in there, I mean, yeah, an alcohol wipe might not be the worst of ideas, but at least they're being efficient. So
I don't know. The alcohol wipe doesn't get rid of the shit, does it? I mean, it's still going to be shit. You're just going to have dead germs on there.
I'm just shit. I'm assuming that you're not actively wiping shit over your phone, but...
This is why you don't touch anybody else's mobile devices.
Because they all take them into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mine usually stays in my pocket while I'm in the bathroom.
Well, that would make you unique, Madman. So, there's the new idea. Toilet tablets. Tablets specifically designed to be left in the bathroom and not used anywhere else.
Gross.
Wash your hands after using the toilet tablet, ladies and gentlemen. Don't look at the history of the toilet tablet either.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Madman.
I'm going to be polite. I'll do the courtesy flush and the courtesy wipe.
It needs to be in one of those waterproof cases so you can just hose it down, you know, sanitizer or something.
And the courtesy delete of history, please, Madman, as well.
Just lock.
That would be the wipe. Like, man, why does this have 32 hours of Teletubbies on it?
This is one hell of a highbrow show we're kicking off today.
Woohoo! I was trying to get a little levity before we went into the discussion story, since it's kind of heavy.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So, first article is from Bloomberg. Tech firms delete mass shooters' accounts, but it's not enough. Because, you know, the tech firms can never do enough. And, you know, we had started talking about this earlier, but it's like, well, I mean, you don't want to glorify a shooter, obviously, but I don't know about taking their stuff. Well, let me read the story here, and then we can talk. Mass shooting events like the one that happened July 4th near Chicago typically set off a chain of procedures at tech companies, unearth the attacker's online presence, capture possibly incriminating posts, and shut down their accounts. As frequent as this protocol has become, the companies are still not fast enough to present a dangerous knock-on effect of the violence. Social media users themselves swiftly find, circulate, and discuss the shooter's posts, in some cases creating a glorification and amplification of murder that could inspire other shootings and that the technology industry, for all of its engineering might, remains ill-equipped to contain. Well, I mean, yeah... I just get this out of the way. Of course they're ill-equipped to maintain it. When you have somebody going on a mass shooting, that's violently breaking the rules of society, literally. When you're in tech, you don't normally design for somebody not following the rules. I mean, sure, you follow designs for people posting nasty stuff, but, you know, that kind of rule-breaking. But when you're talking about out-and-out, like, breakdown of society kind of rule-breaking... It's hard to design for that. So, the man prosecutors say sprayed bullets into a parade in Highland Park has a sizable online presence that internet companies urgently scrubbed, deactivating nearly a dozen of his profiles, according to a review of his accounts by Bloomberg News. Within 48 hours, companies including YouTube, Discord, Spotify, and even PayPal permanently suspended the accounts of the accused gunman. I don't want to read his name. All but removing his trace from the open web. But since the mass shooting, which transformed a holiday celebration into a national tragedy, internet trolls and curious onlookers have passed around archives of his accounts, picked apart his postings. Quote, bloodthirsty trolls and admirers have their own copies of his work, which they will endlessly obsess over and dissect, said Emerson Brooking, a resident senior fellow for the Atlantic Council who studies digital platforms. Regular people, too, become curious about a shooter's motivation in the aftermath of the unthinkable tragedy. Quote, eventually these trolls are going to try to smuggle his ideas back into the mainstream. Our company's ready for that. Are we? Unquote. Well, way to dramatize it there. I mean, So, I mean, it's like, well, you know, sometimes people are just curious. Is that, I guess that's now a crime, but.
Well, don't do your own research, Morps.
Yeah, really.
You know, don't, maybe it's time to put away the facts. Start thinking with feelings. You know, diversity is our strength. Well, that's great horse shit.
On Meta Platforms Facebook, a link from, I mean, somebody archiving this guy's stuff for prosperity doesn't mean they're glorifying him or worshiping or, you know, reintroducing his ideas or other bullshit like that. They're not following, they're archiving. Maybe they think there's some historical significance in copying it off. Maybe they're looking for red flags so that they can watch out for that in other accounts. You know, again, maybe it's just curiosity. So it's like, it's not trolls and admirers. Okay, there might be trolls, but I doubt anybody's really admiring the guy. I mean, sure, you might have somebody post that trying to be all, you know.
Fucking edgelord.
Yeah, edgelord, grimdark, whatever you want to call it. But they're, you know.
If he doesn't get admirers, he's going to be the first mass shooter in history not to have any.
Fair point. Man,
I'm
man.
Sorry. What's there to admire about a man who makes his own homemade sex doll?
That he killed a bunch of people, and now how many millions of people are talking about him?
Well, it is curious. Normally, they kill themselves after they do this, and this one didn't. So, we'll see what comes of that. Let's see. A link from the file hosting site Mega was linked and shared dozens of times, mostly in private groups, according to CrowdTangle, a Meta-owned social media analysis tool, or analytics tool, I should say. Quote, they tried to scrub the shooter from the internet, but Nightwatch is in control, unquote, said one user who shared the link in a group with 19,160 members called, quote, Let's Go Brandon, unquote, a reference to an anti-Biden political meme. Oh, for God's sake, they're linking it with right-wingers. On 4chan, the fringe online message board, dozens of anonymous users scrutinized the messages behind apparently self-published book on Amazon by the suspected government, since deleted by the company, which contained just a string of meaningless numbers. He's like the Zodiac Killer, the retarded edition. Got it. After the attack, 4chan users flocked to his Discord server, NBC reported, including to post memes about the incident. The server was small and mostly inactive days before. According to Bloomberg's review of the chat logs, it was eventually deactivated. In response to inquiries from Bloomberg, Alphabet Inc.'s YouTube said that its trust and safety teams had removed content that violated its community guidelines and terminated a channel that violated its creator responsibility guidelines. Twitter Inc. said its enforcement teams were proactively removing content that violated its rules, including posts glorifying violence. Mega said it removed the file shared on other sites because it was, quote, considered that the collection of material relating to the alleged shooter was likely to be used to glorify him and could inspire others to similar actions, unquote, according to a statement from Stephen Hall, executive chairman at Mega Limited. A PayPal donate link associated with the suspected gunman on an archived version of his website was deactivated after Bloomberg asked the company whether it violated policies. I don't like that. The whole, oh, Bloomberg saying, oh, does that violate your policy? Look at that. That's as opposed to just saying, hey, you know, you might want to do something about that. No, you got to be the concern troll about that shit. It's like you're making news, Bloomberg. You're supposed to report on it, not make it. Amazon.com Incorporated, Discord Inc. and Meta did not respond to requests for comment, but removed the accounts associated with this gunman on their servers. Within hours of mass shooting events inspired by extremist views, an online engine begins to churn out propaganda discussing and often honoring the attackers. At Alex Newhouse, deputy director of the center. Why did you call it propaganda? It's the wrong word. Deputy director of the Center of Terrorism, Extremism, and Counterterrorism at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies at Monterey. On the chat app Telegram, for example, self-described far-right users have posted photoshopped images of extremist attackers as saints or placed their images on so-called mass shooter calendars. Social media companies on the lookout for manifestos, videos, and memes related to the shooter often miss internet craft workarounds, such as stylized remix of shooting event footage that aim to continue sanctifying the events. Some of this propaganda is intended to sow chaos and social conflict that the extremists hope will create conditions for a new society aligned with their views, a philosophy known as accelerationism. That's not a comfortable word. That is not a comfortable word to say.
It is an actual philosophy.
It is an actual philosophy, but it's fucking retarded.
Other times, posts apparently valorizing these individuals are not explicitly politically motivated. Irreverent internet users on forums such as 4chan use imagery in these tragedies to make edgy jokes.
Yeah, it's an image forum. Fuck, of course they use images, you retard.
Yeah, the shooter's motivations are less traceable to known extremist groups. In fringe communities such as 4chan and Gab, is Gab now a fringe community? Users exchange conspiratorial theories, picking apart images of him wearing a Trump flag around his shoulders and a rose tattoo as clues for his ideological affiliation. Online obsession around shooters plays into what many of them envision as their legacies. The article goes on a couple more things, but basically they're complaining that these companies aren't clairvoyant enough to remove the accounts before, you know, the news breaks about a person and everybody, you know, and you got these online groups that go and grab and archive everything because they know the accounts are going to get blamed.
I hate to say it, but the news are generally the last to know.
So, I'm not sure that they should just be wiping out the accounts like that, though. I mean, in kind of the philosophy of free speech, you know, it's the person's put a bunch of bullshit out there, let it stand to prove how dumb they are, right?
I'm pretty sure the last shooter didn't have a manifesto anyway. That's in January with the fourth shooter.
Not all of them do.
No, a lot of
the argument behind it is on removing this. It falls down on which type of mass shooter it is. It's been a while since I actually read this paper, but it usually falls under three: school shooters are one of them, and the type that school shooter and not mass annihilation shooter, but another one. They thrive on fame, and all of their copycats have pointed to becoming famous as the primary or secondary motivator. The ones that aren't the primary motivator, their primary motivator is straight nihilism, followed by becoming famous. They don't believe in heaven or hell, and the only way they'll live on is through fame, and they decided to be famed by following the previous mass shooter. So if we don't make them famous, there will be a reduction, at least two of the categories of mass shooters. We won't affect political mass shooters, which there aren't really a lot of those. Usually political shooters or political motivated mass destruction isn't a shooter, it's a bombing.
Well, the last political shooter was shot up that baseball game. Yeah.
And even then, those are usually targeted. You know, they might be shooting at a crowd, but there's somebody in that crowd they want to take out for whatever reason.
So you have to kind of determine what type of mass shooter it is before you know whether or not this is effective. But you can scrub it. As in, when I say scrub it, I don't mean delete everything. I just mean remove it from the internet and then let it out once you figure out which mass shooter it is. Or if you just want to play it safe, you don't have to scrub it from the internet, you don't have to scrub it from all of society. Just try to remove it from the internet and stick it behind a research wall. I don't remember the name of the main engines, but when I was in college, you could actually subscribe to a few pretty much research search engines that had access to every doctoral thesis and peer-reviewed article ever written.
Yeah, that's what Aaron Schwartz was trying to dump out on the internet when they, you know, arrested him and ultimately he killed himself. But
you can usually access those for free by going to any of your local colleges. Put them behind something like that.
I mean, that's an idea of saying, hey, you know, this is not on the general internet, but if you want to at least, you know, go through a step of saying, hey, it's for a research or for a paper or you're doing a study. I mean, even if it's just, I need, you know, you just a box where you put in a reason that's not really checked. I mean, just, you know, some kind of, you know, simple gateway I could see.
Yeah, because it kills the ability to become famous, and if you're actually interested in studying the guy for the sake of either knowing what he was doing or just to study him, it's still available.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not down with that one, Madman.
And see, here's the thing. I brought this up because I did want to talk about this idea of scrubbing all of their stuff off the internet. And I don't know that that's the right thing to do, because you're right in that there's a group, you know, some of these shooters, their desire is to become famous. Okay. I mean, they plastered the guy's name and a really shitty picture all over the place, so that's already happened. You know, whether they scrubbed his internet or not. You know, there's always going to be sickos out there, so it's like, oh no, somebody might, you know, get his stuff and glorify it. Well, you know what? If somebody's in the process of proving themselves to be a moron, why stop them, you know?
Well, it's not stopping from being a moron. It's seeing how many fewer people get shot because of it. He'll prove himself a moron a different way.
Well, that's true. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying I'm not sure where I land. Because I could see a good argument either way.
Well, I look at it this way. Okay, something happens like that. Report it on the news, time, date, what, when, and where. Don't even need to say who. Just male or female. That's it.
Well,
and let it be. And if those are intellectually curious enough to go out there and find this stuff, let them be.
Yeah.
Don't let the normies have it. Make it hard to find.
Okay? Yeah, I could see that. I mean, again, if you're trying to prevent fame, not reporting their name or photo in the news is probably the best way to do it.
That's, yeah, you're cutting, I mean, 99% of the normies out, see?
I was purposely not saying the guy's name. It's throughout the article a lot. I just
didn't feel like it. Like,
if you want to read the guy's name, just go click the link. I mean, it's there.
I mean, unless he's at large, I don't see a reason to have his name or photo. Yeah. And the only reason to put his name or photo out is if he's at large is because you're trying to find him. But if he's already been captured, no. I don't see a point in putting out his name or his photo.
I love me reading a good Crazy Man manifesto. Okay.
So,
and I don't see how anyone could glorify half these manifestos. They're rubbish.
Well, I think a lot of the people glorify him, like we said earlier, they're just edgelords trying to, you know, prove how mean and evil they are.
Some of them are edge lords. Some are just crazy people.
Yeah. Takes all sorts.
I mean, Heaven's Gate existed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all...
There are a lot of people in that one.
We all met
Steven.
Can you
think of castrating yourself? I mean...
Yeah.
There's...
Well, it's really hard to get those Nike shoes now, though, man. They are worth a fortune on the aftermarket.
Yeah,
Heaven's
I think purple
Gate
shoelaces
UFO guys,
are still
right?
hard to get to.
Yeah, they're the tracksuit and going to, the spaceship just beyond the comet?
Yeah, in the comet's tail. It was hiding in the comet's tail.
Yeah, that was a good lot of fucking crazy, and there was a heap of them in that one.
Madman, and purple shoelaces can't be that hard to get. You just get white ones and a bottle of Rit, and, I mean...
And for anyone that's also younger than me, that's a Columbine reference.
I was going to say, that's Columbine. The shoes were the Heaven's Gate people, the blue Nikes.
Oh, yeah, they had the specific brand new Nikes they were all
wearing.
Yeah,
and Nike quickly took them off the market after it happened. But I do know there is good money to be made if you can get a pair of these shoes. There is a collector's market.
Oh, and the tracksuit. Oh, that would be the greatest Halloween costume a woman in my work would get.
The only problem is, man, nobody would get it if they're, you know, if they're younger. They wouldn't get the Heaven's Gate stuff.
And that's why I would do it. If anyone did get it, I would be in HR in like a heartbeat.
This is what I mean. It's because people have such a short memory and attention span these days is that every news... mass killing is like, oh my god, this is the first time we're seeing it again. No, there's crazy cults everywhere. We just arrested here in this country 15 people in a cult after they killed a kid. It's not new. This shit is everywhere.
Well, and this one doesn't seem to be too cult oriented. It is pretty much absentee parents and then not socializing your kid.
Well, I was just thinking, speaking of cults, how big did that one in Japan get that was led by the blind guy?
What about the one in South Korea? The cult leaders got all the way into politics.
Yeah.
Mass graves, stuff like that. Like this brand of I fucking hate the word evil because it's just used too much.
Yeah, but in this case, it fits.
Joseph Mengele wasn't a one-off. There were many before him, and there'll be many after him. Okay, men and women like this exist in the world every day, and they're your teachers, they're your doctors, they're police officers. They are sociopaths. They will eat you. I'm starting to sound like fucking Alex Jones now.
When do you start selling the water filters? Because you know we can talk.
Yeah, I know, man. I'll get you water filters soon. You know when you've got a thought and you can't get it out?
Yeah.
Despotic systems like Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler, and that, they aren't the first and they won't be the last. If you go back and read some of Roman history, there were some fucking absolute crazy emperors, dude. And because the emperor was God, people had to follow what he said. They did horrific shit in the name of, you know, cohesion and public fucking discourse and things like that.
Oh yeah, Nero was nuts. But if you looked at any of the Stoic emperors, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, there are some really good ones. But those men are one-offs. One in every 500 years, you'll get a man like Abraham Lincoln or, you know, one of the great emperors that did things for the people. I think the new great one is the World Economic Forum. I think they're doing terrible things.
Okay, well, when you said great, I'm like, you're forgetting what great means. This is one of the evil peoples.
Well, I said the evil people is World Economic Forum. They're the next evolution of what we're going to have to go through. You're going to see terrors you wish you'd never seen before. You'd never seen. We've forgotten how bad men can be towards each other.
Well, but when it comes to this, I'm actually fine with taking it off the web and sticking it in an archive somewhere accessible at university. It's something where you have to go through a step.
I think everything should be public domain, man. I just don't think it should be plastered all over the normie news.
Well, if it's public domain, you're not going to stop that.
The mass shooting and the interest around the shooter and the events and what happened is no different to a plane crash. People are just curious about what happened. They want to know.
They want
the details.
You know, as much as we talk about the idea of just don't say their name, don't show their photo, I mean, the problem is that the first news organization that does so has a scoop, so they're all going to be in a race to do it, even if they shouldn't.
Yeah, I only know of two that don't do that. And how many news organizations are there?
Yeah.
Well then.
So I don't know.
That's
what
the only compromise
is.
I see. Anyway,
I do not know. I don't know that there is a right answer. I mean, again, you're talking about, you know, completely abandoning the rules of society. So trying to find the right answer in a social system after somebody's stepped outside of it is kind of an exercise of futility. So,
no, it could just be saying the few people that are going to be pushed into mass shooting and copycatting might be worth having the free speech. And I can see that argument. I don't see where reading this guy's posts or tweets is valuable enough to say he should stay up there. It's worth the risk, but I'll concede that giving someone the power to remove it might be worse than leaving it up there.
So, and again, we're using this guy as the recent example because that's what the story's about. But I'm talking about in general. Somebody does something bad. Now, do we go and scrub all their stuff off the internet? I mean, I don't know that that's the right call. You know what I mean?
And well, memory-holing a person doesn't change the event.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's going to unshoot those people.
You know, do you not mention any victims and stuff like that as to not sow fear within the public that they could be a victim too? Yeah, how far do you go to get rid of all this shit?
Yes, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that you do any of it. That's the problem.
No, that's...
I know, that's the point you're making.
If you're going to make a step, you know, just start with the no name, no face. But I like to read crazy and really get in that shit because I'm just curious like that.
So
and I don't have a copy of it. I don't disseminate. I don't repost. I just want to see it for myself.
Anyways, I don't think we're going to find an answer to this one anytime soon.
Okay, so okay, let's use Chris Chan as an example. Should his writings be scrubbed off the internet?
I mean, maybe Chris out Chan of a sense wasn't of, a mass shooter.
Maybe out of a sense
no,
of
no, but
decency.
He did terrible things to his mother, to his grandmother.
Yeah, but that's also would... not the category of copycats.
No, but
that's pushing
it's also
copycats.
It's all, no, actually, you'd be surprised about the copycats with Chris Chan there, man. But that's for another discussion. I'm just saying about his writings. They are absolutely batshit insane. Yet people are glorifying it, and there's a cult building up around it.
I mean, all of it's an attempt to control reality by an attempt to control what other people think by limiting their access to information. Now, whether that information should be limited or not, I guess, is the real question.
There is a cult following around Chris Chan and his writings.
Well, those people deserve to be hit over the head with something heavy. I mean,
well, I would say those people are equally as dangerous.
What was Chris Chan's body count? Last I checked, it was close to zero. I mean, he was abusive to his mom and a crazy dude.
Yeah, it's... If we're talking about the idea of censoring other people's thoughts, like a mass shooter's thoughts, then his thoughts are just as fucking delusional and crazy. I'd say even more crazy than the last two big shooters anyway.
But I mean, the issue that we're having is that there is a branch of mass shooter that actually does it to get famous, and promoting those mass shooters does spawn copycats. Not a theory. We know this. So the question is the number of copycats they're going to spawn worth the free speech? Pushing Chris Chan doesn't spawn mass shooters. Pushing the ideas of Joseph Mengele doesn't actually spawn mass shooters, although you can say the founding of Planned Parenthood killed a lot more people. But that's kind of a different ball of evil.
Yeah, but it's... We're still talking about the dissemination of ideas that may or may not inspire another person to do something.
Well, on the glorifying of mass shooters, we know that it will. The only question is it 10, 15, and is that a low enough number for us to care? I'll concede that the number may be low enough that I don't want to give the government the ability to censor people. But
well, in this case, it's not the government.
It's a trade-off that I'm acknowledging happens.
But in this case, we're not talking about the government. We're talking about IT companies. Well, you know, media or tech media companies.
Well,
okay. So can we just give me five minutes on this one real quick? Let's take the mass shooting out of it, right? That doesn't happen. Some of the craziest shit being said on the internet's out there right now, and there are people that fucking believe in it. Let's face it, we all know about the emotional vampire fucking issues. Right? If you're in rant back in the day, you'll know. That's crazy shit. And a lot of people started going along with it. And it took a community that was rational, reasonable and rational, and fucking the crazies came in. And then the normals left. But this shit's... especially the stuff around Chris Chan, man. The people he's inspiring with his writing is fucking insane.
Well, there's also a question there, though. So, okay, if somebody is inspired by Chris Chan's writing, and we take Chris Chan out of the scenario, what's to say they wouldn't be as inspired to do something by something else just as crazy?
That's what I'm saying. Like, we can't go getting rid of mass shooters stuff if we're not going to get rid of these other fucking loons who believe in, you know, trans-dimensional fucking crossings and stuff like that.
Well, just because we haven't proved a viable Einstein-Rosenberg... Okay, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this? Like, if we start taking one lot of... Well, we can't have that because that's really bad. But what happens if we shift a little bit and the next one becomes really bad? So we can't have their writings.
And the we've seen that example. I mean, you know, they started to knock white supremacist websites offline, and then they started taking off anything that was even.
Well, that's what I mean. Where does it stop?
Well, it doesn't, and that's the thing. And again, you know, Madman was talking about the government doing it. Now, at least if the government was going to do it, you could say, hey, okay, where's the rules that you're going to operate by? At least then you'd have something you're working with. But when a company is doing it, and especially these companies where their policy is nebulous at best, and they can change it in a whim, you ever look at the very bottom of any of the user license agreements you ever see? They all say that they can be changed without notice.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't... I mean, again, I wasn't reading the guy's name. I didn't want to say his name. I didn't want to put, you know, one more voice putting the guy's name out there. But I don't know that I want to pull of his shit down. You know, it's kind of like what Madman was saying. It's like, if you're willing to do the extra step to figure out who it was and go see they're crazy, well, okay. But at the same time...
I wish you had more than 15 minutes prep time on this one. I didn't realize how many...
Yeah, I didn't know how deep we were going to go with this. And yeah, I mean, I didn't realize what I thought about not warning about. You guys at all, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I think I need a little bit more prep time for this discussion.
Well, when it comes to social media, I think if we took them all down and burned the places where their servers stand, the world would be a better place.
Well, not much of value would be lost. That's true.
I'm with you, Madman. And let's go to the next story.
Next story is from Wired. Companies are hacking their way around the chip shortage. This is just funny. Short version, one of the examples in here is some companies are buying other products like washing machines and stuff like that to harvest the chips out of them. As the global chip shortage stretches towards the 2-year mark, manufacturers are pulling some unusual tricks to keep production lines moving. Car makers are using semiconductors taken from washing machines, rewriting code to use less silicon, and even shipping their products without chips while promising to add them in later. While the shortage of semiconductors now is a new normal, everyone is being forced to adapt. Quote, there's desperation in the market, unquote, said Bill Wiseman, a senior partner at the consulting firm McKinsey. Quote, if you're building a $350,000 mass spectrometer and you can't ship it because you don't have a 50-cent chip, you're pretty much willing to pay anything, unquote. McKinsey has tapped into the sense of urgency by creating a team dedicated to sourcing chips for the companies it consults for. Wiseman says the team will look beyond regular supply chains and has found much-needed chips in countries including Morocco, the Netherlands, and Japan. They've also been able to identify chips that might be slightly different than the original ones, the ones originally called for. Manufacturers and brokers are, of course, able to charge a premium, and companies have little choice but to pay. Quote, the chips are actually out there, Wiseman says. It's just a question of finding and getting them, unquote. In some cases, this means taking desperate measures. Last month, Peter Winnick, CEO of the Dutch company ASML, which makes the complex machines needed to mint cutting-edge computer chips, revealed another eye-opening example. Winnick says that one large industrial conglomerate had resorted to buying washing machines just to scavenge the chips inside them for its products. The chip shortage was caused by several factors, including a rush to buy electronics needed for work from home in the pandemic, a hoarding of chips sparked by trade tensions between the U.S. and China, and disruption of flow of components through a complex semiconductor supply chain distributed around the globe. The crisis has highlighted how crucial semiconductors are to the economy and has shown how brittle many supply chains are. Industries that have been badly affected include consumer electronics, LED and other lighting, energy, and automotive. At the beginning of the pandemic, car makers halted production and canceled orders for chips before being blindsided by the uptick in demand. And falling back into the queue for chip orders, auto firms have been struggling to catch up ever since. And that's because they never actually understood just-in-time shipping. It's not that you keep no inventory. It's that you keep enough inventory to run until you can receive the next shipment.
Yeah, Toyota and Honda are the only two that ever did that well.
Yeah,
same day delivery, that's never going to let us down.
Yep, and that's the problem, is so many of these companies didn't understand that concept. They thought, well, we just keep no inventory. We just get the ship and take it straight to the product line, and it's on the shipping companies to deliver on time. And if they don't, we charge the fuck out of them. And, you know, some of them got contracts for this. Some of them tried it without the contracts, and you know how well that would work. But, the global supply chain problems that we're all seeing now are kind of the indication of how wrong most of these companies got it.
Well, it's only going to get worse, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Across the board.
I love the fact that...
You don't think this is going to cause certain countries to shorten supply chains, at least on what they deem critical infrastructure? You don't think US and the EU may actually build a microchip factory within their borders?
It takes a long time to spin those up. It's
about a decade.
Yeah, it's the same as if you cull a herd down to fuck all. It takes a long time to rebuild the herd back up. So by the time you realize you made the mistake, it's already too late. And generally, you find with people in positions of power like this really don't want to admit failure or fault. So they will deny until the problem becomes so fucking out of hand. They will just jump ship then and let it. Somebody else would problem.
And, of course, the joy of our current leadership is most of them won't be alive in a decade to see whether their solutions worked or not.
Also, I'm seeing with this, hey, we got supply chain shortages, a bit of revenge going on between nations. Like, oh, you've got, say, computer chips. Well, we're not going to give you those computer chips for a while. Let you wiggle and hurt.
I just love the fact that there are brokerages spinning up to hunt down what used to be commodity parts that you just go on Mouser and order 1,000 of them for $5, right? And now they're so hard to get. I mean, they're literally talking about ICs that are like logic gates and diodes and stuff like that. Stuff that, you know, you'd have in a parts bin. I was looking for a particular Raspi at one point for a project. And I'm seeing all these posts about how impossible Raspberry Pis are to find. And I'm looking over at the shelf with all the different kinds of them that I have, just not the kind I want for the project. Like, about that. Although, admittedly, I bought a lot of them before it started. But
I wonder if any of these will do what I want if I tweak them enough.
At one point, I had this idea for a 3D-printed swarm of robots that I was going to make. So I ordered a batch of Raspberry Pi Zeros off of eBay because I found somebody selling a lot of them for fairly cheap, and most of the suppliers are only selling one or two at a time. And I've got like 10 in a drawer, you know, because I thought I was going to do that and I never did. And then, of course, now you can't find them for anything. And it's like, I mean, they're not useless. They're useful, but I haven't used them yet, so... Of course, I'm not getting rid of them now. They're so fucking hard to find. But, I wanted the one, the new one, the two. And, of course, I do have a couple of them because I managed to get them when they first got released. But I have some Amiga projects I wanted to stick the things in. And, now getting the right kind of chips is getting kind of hard. So, but I love that there's brokerages spinning up to do it. And they're, like, buying products to strip the chips out of them.
Yeah, how much you want a chip when you're willing to buy the washing machine for scrap
and the
just
free
to get
market,
the few chips out of it.
And the free market doesn't work, they said.
I mean, I think it's cyberpunk as hell. I love it. Scary, but at the same time, of course, the washing machine company doesn't care. They're selling more washing machines.
Well, just think of the waste. They take the chip, dump the rest.
They'd probably
take it down
scrap.
For recycling, scrap. So yeah, it's going to be still some waste. A lot more than if they could just get the chip they needed.
Exactly right.
Well, now I wonder if they're, like yanking the bits they need. Oh, that'd be a scam. Get the washing machine, get the bits you need out of it, call up the place you ordered the washing machine from. Yeah, that doesn't work. I'd like to return it.
Nice.
Oh, fucking dick move.
Why not just ring up the washing machine manufacturer and go, look, I'll take those chips off your hand, you know?
Really?
$1.50 over value.
You'd have to at least do the markup from the total washing machine.
But it seems it's like a negotiation you could have so that you weren't scrapping a washing machine for a handful of chips. Yeah.
Instead of $400 for the washing machine and how many other chips you'd get out of it, like, I'll give you $100 for the chips.
Although, the guys who scavenge motors out of old washing machines and cheap shit to use on, like, farm projects, and like that guy whose YouTube channel we were watching who makes a lot of his own tools in a wood shop. I bet they'd love that because you can get those, brand new motor for a secondhand price. So, anyways, the crazy part is we're probably going to see more companies spin up who that's their role is, sourcing shit out of other products because you just can't get them.
Oh yeah, we're looking at, well, it takes 10 years to spin it up. We're looking at a 10-year chip shortage. I mean, it might not be, out of chips, but there's not going to be as many as we want for at least 10 years. And that's if we get our asses in gear and actually build a factory now. I keep seeing plans about it, talks about it in the U.S., but ground has not been broken yet.
Actually, considering how... See, now I'm wondering if there might be a... I was thinking with computers, a lot of them used to have a lot of the discrete logic and glue chips and stuff like that in them that a lot of these manufacturers would want for what's now embedded systems. But modern computers are so integrated just in a handful of control chips that I don't know that going through a junkyard and grabbing a bunch of Pentium 3s would do you much good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what chip they're after. And, of course, they're going to want modern chips. They're not going to be... Although finding, old stock that would work. I don't know. That's got to
be... Another fix. How low-tech do you think cars are going to go?
Well, that's where the article kept going, if we kept going with it, is they talk about how they're just stripping features out. And
good.
Saying, sorry, we can't ship that. I think we'll probably see a return of a lot of things going, that were using microcontrollers back to just using discrete electronics. Not because the microcontroller couldn't be done, but, they quit making, like, clocks and calculators and, stuff that used to be a set of IC logic chips and, like, a little discrete processor, bundled the whole thing up into a micro with some, with whatever support chips it needed for, like, driving your keypad or whatever. And, because it was cheaper to get the microcontroller than it was to design and ship the discrete electronics, I wonder if you'll see them switch back to that discrete electronics. So you'll start, all the devices nowadays that have touch screens and little color displays and smart features, you start seeing all that drop off going back to kind of the basic electronics you saw in the 80s. It worked, but it was a push button. You know what I mean? So, be interesting to see where it goes. Next article I have is from flatpanelshd.com, but the story is all over the place. PlayStation Store will remove customers' purchased movies.
Wait, given refunds,
and give me my full refund?
That part's not in there.
And give me my full refund?
I didn't hear that part.
And compensation for my time and inconvenience?
In a move that will undoubtedly draw severe criticism, movies from Studio Canal that customers have purchased on PlayStation Store will be completely removed next month. The legal notice is published on PlayStation's German and Australian websites, where it reads, as of August 31st, 2022, due to our evolving license agreements with content providers, you will no longer be able to view your previously purchased Studio Canal content, and it will be removed from your video library. We greatly appreciate your continued support. Thank you, PlayStation Store. That's what it says. We thank you for your support. We're taking your shit.
Yeah, no.
And the response to everyone that owns a PlayStation should be, and the next generation console I'm buying will be Xbox.
Oh, really? In other words, customers will lose access to movies such as Apocalypse Now, Django, John Wick, La La Land, Saw, and The Hunger Games that they purchased on the PlayStation Store. Not rented, purchased. On March 24th, March 2021, Sony confirmed that the PlayStation Store would no longer offer new movie purchases or rentals on PS4 and PS5 as of August 31st, 2021. However, at the time, Sony assured its customers that users can still access movies and TV content they have purchased through the PlayStation Store for on-demand playback on their PS4, PS5, and mobile devices after August of 2021. The fact that Sony PlayStation is instead removing purchased movies is not only hugely problematic, but also a broken promise. The company has not announced plans to refund customers. The development reignites the debate around digital movie purchases and naturally leads consumers to wonder what comes next. Will Amazon, Apple, Google, Microsoft, and others simply remove customers' purchased movies when the tech giants lose interest in their movie storefronts? So far, there's no indication that they will, but Sony's PlayStation decision certainly serves as a grim example. In the U.S., customers have some protection through digital movie locker movies anywhere, but no such fallback exists internationally. So, and then they've got the full list of movies here that got licensed to these guys. It's a pretty long-ass list. I mean...
And that's why I've remained old school on my movie purchases. If I buy a movie, I buy a DVD.
Physical media of some sort, yeah.
Yeah, there may be some movies that I've never bought, and it's just on a streaming service I own, but if I decide, that I'm renting... But those I don't consider owned. If the streaming service goes away, I've lost nothing. If I buy a movie, I don't buy it from Amazon on their little, you've bought a digital copy. No, I get a physical disc.
I mean, that's the way to go if you want to make sure you never lose anything. I would say, though, that if you had bought these movies through PlayStation Store and Sony's not giving you a way to download them, you're well within your rights to get a pirated copy.
Oh, yeah. On that point, you're not stealing. You're getting your property back. And the studios that owned these movies, if they wanted to get some goodwill and next to nothing, because all of these movies have been out a while, you're out the cost of the actual material from a DVD. If they were to step up and say, anyone with a PlayStation, contact us and we will give you your DVD.
That would
get shit tons of goodwill.
If I was Microsoft, I would say anybody with a PlayStation and you're losing your movies, we'll give you those movies on Xbox if you go open up an Xbox account.
There you go. That's
even better.
Customers.
That's a way of poaching a customer.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Roku or Netflix, one of those companies. I mean, jump on that shit, right? Because that's Sony making a really stupid decision that you could see a lot of people monopolizing on. So, anyways, next article is from Ars Technica. U.S. carriers want to bring Screen Zero lock screen ads to smartphones. Android.
So my locked smartphone will start advertising shit to me.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Android smartphones can be a rough market, and to squeeze as much profit out of a phone as possible, carriers often sell every square inch of a phone to the highest bidder. Packed in, often uninstallable crapware apps fill your app drawer and advertise their services. The rules are a lot looser for packed-in apps compared to Play Store apps, so data-hungry companies like Facebook often pay for a spot where they can more easily harvest data. Anybody with a Samsung phone, by the way, you ever notice you can't uninstall Facebook? That's why. according to a report from TechCrunch, one new startup is investing in a new, more invasive form of crapware, lock screen ads. The company, Glance, is a subsidiary of Indian tech ad tech company in mobile. And TechCrunch reports that the lock screen content, the company is planning to launch its lock screen platform on Android. The lock screen content company is, quote, planning to launch its lock screen platform on Android smartphones within the U.S. in the U.S. within 2 months, unquote. Glances app is a full screen takeover of the lock screen. Looks a lot like a generic swipe heavy social network like TikTok or Snapchat Discover, but it only shows content from Glance. Imagine every time you turned on your phone, you were first presented with an auto-playing video from a popular off-brand TikToker, and you get the idea. The company's website promises, quote, unparalleled reach, unquote, and quote, authentic engagement, unquote, from its captive audience. Naveen Tiwar, founder of the CEO of InMobile, gave a rather dystopian description of his company's strategy to Forbes India, saying, quote, consumers will move from seeking content to consuming what is shown to them, unquote. Of course, that's all just a big ad vector. The third major navigation link on the company's website is to advertisers, where the business page promises a friction-free campaign on screen zero, the first screen users see when they turn on their phones. Quick browse through Glance's business page shows it's really hard to identify what's paid content and what's not, so it's probably all paid content. The advertiser page shows a range of success stories, like a cryptocurrency quiz game promoted by a crypto app that educates users on cryptocurrency and boosted sales. Question number one in Glance's demo video, which of these assets gave more return in 2020, Bitcoin or gold? Bitcoin's down 65%. Okay. Glance also promises it can serve up a ton of personal data for advertisers for targeting and tracking. It lists demographics, their location, interests they've chosen in the app, what language they're running, and the phone model. Google is an investor in Glance. Glance lists Vivo, Motorola, Xiaomi, Oppo, Realme, and Samsung as partners and says that in India, the company has an 80% reach on all new smartphones. Wow. I mean,
see, this is what makes me buy a flip phone. You want to see me buy a flip phone? This is how you get me to buy a flip phone.
I mean, more and more, the whole just don't have a fucking phone is probably the right answer. I mean, you remember in Idiocracy when the guy was watching a giant television and it was just surrounded with ads except for the really little bit in the middle? That's what they want to do. That's what they actually want to fucking do. Don't update your phones. If you've got a smartphone you're happy with and you've got it set up your way, unless you smash the thing, don't buy a new one.
Try going one day a week without it. Liberate yourself.
Get a ham radio license. It's more interesting.
Become a human again. Liberate.
Talk on the damn radio. I've lost my mouse cursor. There it is.
Yeah, that's the world getting more horrible, Morphs. So let's go to another story.
Okay.
There's nothing to say to that other than the entire thing's fucking shit. And It's stories like this that make me question my laissez-faire attitude towards companies.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm.
Okay. this one's from BusinessInsider.com. Air Force vet who worked for Facebook is suing the company, saying it accessed deleted user data and shared it with law enforcement. A former Facebook staffer and Air Force veteran is suing Meta, saying he was fired in retaliation for raising concerns about a protocol that let Facebook employees access deleted user data. Like, anybody thought they were actually deleting anything.
Nothing's ever deleted.
Brennan Lawson filed his lawsuit in a California court on Tuesday. Insider has viewed the lawsuit in which Lawson said he was hired in July of 2018 to work on Facebook's escalations team. His work was similar to Facebook's army of content moderators viewing graphic content, including beheadings and child sexual assault. Ugh. The material viewed by Lawson and his team was particularly high profile, according to the lawsuit, having been flagged by Facebook by journalists, law enforcement, and governments. Lawson says in 2019, Facebook introduced a protocol which allowed people on his team to access Facebook Messenger data even if it had been deleted by a user. This is at odds with what Facebook told users, per the lawsuit. Quote, Facebook had represented to users for years that once content was deleted by its users, it would not remain on any Facebook servers and would be permanently removed, unquote, Lawson's lawsuit states. The lawsuit states that the protocol was used to access user data when law enforcement requested data about a suspect. Quote, to keep Facebook in the good graces of the government, the escalations team would utilize the back-end protocol to provide answers to for the law enforcement agency and then determine how much to share, unquote, the lawsuit says. Lawson says Facebook retaliated against him after he questioned the legality of this protocol in a meeting, and that was used as pretext involving his grandmother's hacked Facebook account to fire him. Okay, that's a little out there. Lawson's grandmother contacted him in 2019 to say her Facebook account had been hacked. Lawson says he directed her case through the appropriate channels to restore her account, but Facebook fired him, claiming he had not followed company protocol by typing his grandmother's email address into an admin tool, the lawsuit says. Meta did not immediately respond when contacted by Insider about the lawsuit. Lawson's attorney did not immediately respond either.
That's because it's pending.
Yeah.
Neither attorney's going to respond.
I mean, kind of a no duh, right? I mean, of course, Facebook doesn't actually ever delete anything.
I just think it's getting a little incestuous how much the government and big tech seem to be hopping into bed with each other these days.
Well, they might not be in bed, but they certainly got their hands down each other's pants.
That's what I said, man. It's pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's not just these days. Well, ever since they put the screws to Microsoft, every tech firm, including Microsoft, realized whose palms to grease and who gets an annual BJ. Check out how many Google contracts there are.
Considering what most people in politics look like, gross.
The only time the occasional Cortex is the most popular person in the room.
I'm just going to leave that one where that is.
If you have to go into a dark closet, or Harry Reid, my friend.
I'll be under my desk gross. Screaming silently, rocking back and forth. You know, an average Thursday night. Last story I have for tonight, RU sent this to me. It's from news.com.au. Chinese researchers claim they have built and tested artificial intelligence capable of reading minds.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, well, if you want to do that, where's the... Do I not have that anymore?
Yeah, but reading the mind of a Chinese peasant is easy. They're thinking two things. Please give me food. Please don't throw me off roof.
Yeah, pretty much it.
What you need to do is find you a blue-haired Californian and then find the mind to read. And if it can do that, I will say they've accomplished something.
Please just tell me they named it Mentok.
Planet reference?
Huh?
Black Planet reference?
Mentok the Mind Taker, yes. A new report has claimed the Chinese government is now implementing cutting-edge artificial intelligence to monitor the minds of dozens of Communist Party officials. I mean, this is 1950s comic book shit. What the fuck? Researchers in China claim to have developed software that can acutely analyze facial expressions and brain waves to monitor if subjects were attentive to the thought and political education.
don't get away from the telescreen. We must know if you're paying attention.
Smile. China's stringent police state has been radically upscaled over the past decade, using big data, machine learning, facial recognition technology, and artificial intelligence to build what may have been labeled as the world's most complex digital dictatorship. According to the Hi-Fi Comprehensive National Science Club, the high-tech development would be used to further solidify their confidence and determination to be grateful to the party, to listen to the party, to follow the party. Sorry, don't know where that came from. In a short clip, a subject was seen looking at a screen in a kiosk, scrolling through exercises prompting party policy. According to researchers, the technology in the kiosk was able to note the researcher's expression and pinpoint their reaction to particular pieces of content. The Institute said it had encouraged 43 party members on the research team to take party lessons while being monitored by the new software. It has encouraged. They didn't volunteer. They were encouraged. The video.
Would you like to keep your job? Do this.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, there it is. The video report was published on July the 1st, but has since vanished. Quote, on one hand, it can judge how party members have accepted thought and political education. Unquote, the article said. Quote, on the other hand, it will provide real data for thought and political education so it can be improved and enriched, unquote. President Xi, secretary of the Communist Party and leader of the nation of 1.4 billion, has demanded absolute loyalty to the party. It has previously declared thought and political education is an essential part of government's doctrine. Chinese state-backed publication study Times was reporting about the development of similar artificial intelligence back in 2019, claiming algorithms could be used to gauge the condition or the thought condition of party members and make sure content can go into the head and the hearts of party members.
That doesn't sound dark.
Not at all. It will truly enhance a party member's political quality and ideological thought, the publication wrote at the time. The development is but another in Winnie the Pooh's relentless pursuit. I'm sorry, that is totally misspelled. They wrote Winnie the Pooh. They meant Xi Jinping. I'm sorry. Relentlessly pursued toward a technological dystopia for the world's largest nation. In certain areas of China, it is now commonplace to have a score tracked by a digital social credit system. Those who are deemed unworthy to the government risk losing basic privileges, such as purchasing airfare. Low social credit score, blah, 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 blah. China's terrible. China's terrible. Yeah, that's the rest of the article. So, I mean, anybody else think they're just making shit up?
Yeah, of course they are. That's why I sent you the story. It's hilarious.
It's like, we have the mind control. I mean, it's like, you know, are they putting a strainer on their head? What are they doing?
At the best, they've got the AI that... certain persons, firms using to sell product.
The marketing shit.
Is that vague enough?
Yeah, that's vague enough.
Like that sounds exactly what they've got. You know, it's just whether you're paying attention, you know, whether you're happy or sad, just that. They haven't invented anything. They stole someone's tech, renamed it.
I had three different stories about the FBI and other governments warning that China is stealing people's tech again. I mean, they've been flat out saying, hey, look, the Chinese are trying to steal your stuff, you know, secure your shit. So.
And the statement, the response to that is, yes, it is Tuesday. yes, it is Thursday. I looked at the calendar.
Yep, I know. But I just, again, men talk the mind taker there, right? I mean, it's just like, come on. You guys have anything on that before we do, Dojo?
Not really.
Okay, this is cool.
Okay.
Huh?
Oh, sorry.
This is cool, what I have for you tonight in Dojo. It's called Pico Boot. And what this is a mod chip for the GameCube. Specifically, it's an open source mod chip using a Raspberry Pi Pico. So instead of a custom bit of silicon like the old mod chips used to be, it's an off-the-shelf micro that's fairly cheap, and the code is open source. And it replaces the bootloader on the GameCube. And what this lets it do is you can get these little adapters that let you stick a micro SD card in one of the expansion ports on the bottom of the GameCube. I have one because I was going to mod it. I have the SD card thing. I mean, I have GameCube that I've been intending to mod for a couple of years now. I just haven't gotten around to it. And I have one of the older mod chips, but again, like I said, I never got around to it. But now I'm going to be using this Pico Boot instead. And what it does is you'll have a ROM that you set as default, so you can have like a menu system. And then if you hold down certain buttons on the GameCube controller when you turn it on, it can go into, you know, it can run other ROMs or images or homebrew that you specify. And because it's completely replacing the BIOS, you don't need a disk in it at all. So you can load it up with homebrew, you can load it up with game backups. And because it's a Raspberry Pi Pico just replacing the system's BIOS, the bootloader, you can update it. So when the guys working on it, because it is open source, come up with new features, all you have to do is take the GameCube apart enough to get to the USB port on the Pico, and you can update your mod chip with whatever the new features are. Like, apparently the same guy who put this is working on some other mods for the GameCube, like, so you can stick like an SD in, or an SSD in it instead of the disk drive or something like that. Maybe I misread it, but because that's always been one of the bigger problems with GameCube modding is you need burned DVDs that apparently don't work very well. Like, you need a very specific brand and they have to be burned exactly right and all that fun stuff. Or you have to like tweak the value of the laser, which might means it won't, which might keep it from working with retail games, which kind of defeats the point. But apparently with this, there's no loss of functionality. You can still run the retail games straight off the disk, so you don't modify the disk drive. And you can just turn the Pico off if you want to run it stock. So, yeah, that's I think this is really cool. So if you're into modding, I guess the GameCube's a classic system these days.
I would say it is. I consider it the step above, the step below Sega and Xbox, but it may have actually been Nintendo's answer to those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was after the N64, so it's in that era of Xbox and PlayStation 1.
And both of those are kind of classic now.
But, you know, still, it's cool. So I'm really pleased to see this, and I hope we start seeing more of mod chips using things like Raspberry Pi Picos or Arduinos rather than, you know, the discrete custom silicon or FPGAs that you have to do for a lot of the mod chips for the older systems. Because especially disk-based systems, right? You know, you're going to need mod chips so that you can keep playing the old games. You know, the old discs break down. You know, I mean, cartridges can too, but they're a little bit more rugged than a little micro DVD like the GameCube uses. I mean, go to a used shop sometime and look at, you know, old PlayStation portable games or PSP games. Look how rough most of those things look. They've got a little plastic shield on them. So, you know, dumping the discs and running them from backups is going to be the only way they get preserved in the long run. Just because, I mean, the original media is going to break down at some point. And modding the console so that it can keep going, especially, I mean, GameCube not so much, but newer consoles that, you know, required that internet connection, like the PS3 is the one that immediately comes to mind. You know, eventually it's going to be mod chips that keep these things going, so you can still play these old games. But
I think PS3 was the first generation that required an internet connection.
Well, that's why I'm talking about that one, yeah.
Mine never has, never will.
And you're specifically doing that just so you can keep it working.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, apparently if the battery dies in the PS3, it loses its time sync, and if it's ever been on PlayStation, all your achievements and stuff like that can keep it from even loading games because it can't verify them. It's silly.
It's been so long since my PS2's been plugged in, it might have actually had that BIOS battery die.
PS2's fine, it's PS3.
Yeah. The other thing
that
you got
to first move to online for them.
The other thing you got to watch out for with some of these older consoles, especially from the 90s, is capacitor rot. Because that's when you first started seeing the Chinese capacitor makers come online in mass, and most of them were working off of a incorrectly copied formula from a Taiwanese capacitor manufacturer. So they rot a lot faster than they should. And, you know, this is why you often hear a retro community talk about recapping machines. It's because it's replacing all the capacitors and at the little electrolytic capacitors with ones that, you know, aren't leaking or you know, prone to exploding. Madman, your Xbox actually exploded, and we replaced it with parts I had from modding mine.
Yeah, and what was hilarious about that explosion, I remember the night it happened, I was watching a movie with Kazahoof, and I heard the explosion. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and was like, well, at least it's not my Xbox, because the DVD's still working. We finished watching the movie, and the next day it wouldn't turn on.
Yeah, you're lucky I had an extra Xbox mainboard floating around. I had bought several of them at a pawn shop because they were like $5 a piece, and I was having some fun modding them. So
yeah, then I stuck my old computer hard drive in it. And
oh yeah, that's right. Space. We copied all that stuff I had on my modded Xbox onto yours, modded the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's got like a 120 gig hard drive in it, which at the time was large.
Do you still have that Xbox?
Yes, it's in my closet right now.
Okay, yeah.
You two done admitting felonies on air?
No.
No. I also played Doom and Mario Brothers on that same Xbox.
I tell you,
Nintendo.
Mine got crushed in one of the moves. I was sad about that. So, anyways, that's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the IRC. In the IRC tonight, we had CyberLard, Psychros, Madman, myself, and Soylent Bomb. The bombs are made of people?
Gross.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Let's really stick it to China and start moving our cheap labor outsourcing to India. They make better curry. They seem to be nice people. They kind of speak English. They can sell us cheap plastic shit.
Are you closing thoughts?
I have nothing now. Thanks, Madman.
Stole your rhyme.
The end.
Sound effects.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
But shut up, Wesley.
And now I don't suffer, because I got a bottle of 60 warm hugs from God.
Do not run! Freeze! Do not run! There is no issue here!
Act with aggression.